What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com and also on Sikkim365 Radio. Craig Smoke with you, as always, and joined, as always, by Grayson Grundhafer, Director of Broadcasting, also Team and Recruiting Reporter for Sikkim365.com. I, of course, also Team Reporter for Sikkim365.com and host, co-host of Sikkim365 Radio weekdays 3 to 6. And we're here with some pretty big stories to talk about this week. We'll start off with some men's basketball, get to a little of what's going on with football, and touch on some women's basketball news as well, along with your mailbag. But before we get into all the headlines this week, Grayson, pretty busy, but how are we doing?
Doing good. I think just kind of, I think like everyone else, just trying to figure out exactly what the football season's going to look like. Was waiting on the anticipated decision by the Big 12 after their meetings that were reportedly on Monday. So finally got an answer to that question. And I think, it ended up being a good answer, I would say. Not the best possible answer, but a good answer, at least, that there will be football. And so that'll be interesting, but also just following recruiting and everything like that. It's been an interesting week. I wouldn't say that there's anything groundbreaking on the recruiting end, but it's been fun nonetheless.
Yeah, there's been some news. Hopefully you've been checking out the posts here and there on the premium section of Sikkim365.com as far as just some of the, you know, the recruiting, like you said, or just some of the thoughts on the season and things like that. But there have been some major stories this week, like you said, including the clarity on football, although we're still lacking a little bit of that at this point. But we'll discuss that second today, because I want to start off with men's basketball and the big news from a couple of days ago. Jared Butler announcing that he is returning for his junior season. He was the only player who had yet to make a decision after Maceo Teague had announced his intentions a few days ago, which was that he was returning to school next year. So with Maceo Teague alone, that would have been great news for this basketball team. But, man, we all knew that if Jared Butler decided to come back, this team had a chance to be that much more special. And sure enough, Jason King had kind of floated it out there on occasion that he felt – that Butler was leaning towards coming back. I think others probably chimed in as well, Ashley, for example. But now we have our answer. Jared Butler is, in fact, going to return to Baylor for his junior season. So he and Maceo Teague both pulling their names out of the NBA draft hat. And Baylor, minus guys who graduated, like a Freddie Gillespie, they are returning, Grayson, next season at completely full strength, and also bringing in, you know, some – JUCO transfers that are now going to be eligible, and you have your freshman that'll be in as well. But your thoughts on Butler's decision and what this means for Scott Drew and Baylor men's basketball?
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. And how about men's basketball just over the past, I guess you could say, month time period? I mean, it just seems like good news, good news, good news every single week for them. And this is probably the biggest news, I would say, because, you know, I think adding Maceo Teague to the fold definitely makes them a, you know, Big 12 championship contending team, a team that could make, you know, a run, I would say, in the tournament. But I think Jared Butler moves the needle a ton, and I think he pops the ceiling up probably all the way to a national championship type team. And I think that that's what he brings to the table, and it's just massive for this program. And he's obviously, he was first team all conference last year and an all American. So returning a guy like that is absolutely huge. And, you know, I will say, I think we're seeing it across the nation though. There are a lot of guys that were really, really good last year that have decided to come back to school. So I think it's maybe a little bit more normal this season to see this happen, but it works out in Baylor's favor for sure with Jared Butler and of course Maceo Teague.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be on paper one of the top teams in college basketball next year. I mean, they were already getting some love, but then the Teague news and now the Butler news. And in most of the polls I've seen now, they're a top three team pretty much across the board, a very strong number two. And I know there will be some that consider them a number one type team in the country next year. So, man, they are really experiencing a lot of success. They're experiencing success based off, you know, the season they had last year, but also just the tremendously hard work that Scott Drew and his staff have put in. So, you know, across the board, Grayson, from, you know, just having players who could go off and make money, especially during a time like this where I wouldn't blame anybody for going ahead and making that jump to the next level, really. You know, talking guys in their position who, you know, have a legitimate shot, they're not just making some dumb decision to make a quick buck. Like, these guys have an opportunity to have careers, and so I wouldn't have blamed them with all the uncertainty to go ahead and just go. But they obviously feel like there's some unfinished business. The staff feels like there's unfinished business, and they're recruiting tremendously in addition to bringing guys back. So across the board recruiting, from the players they've already signed and are trying to, you know, keep on campus, to the players they're bringing in. I mean, Scott Drew and his staff, man, they are on quite the run right now.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I thought it was pretty interesting to see Jared Butler, his draft stock. I think everyone was thinking maybe a second round pick or undrafted if he had decided to leave. But then I saw a recent mock draft after he decided to return, and he was a first round pick. And so if that comes to fruition, I think you're going to see that he made a very, very smart decision in the long run. If he does indeed get drafted in the first round, that would be huge for him. But yeah, like you said, the momentum continues to roll for Baylor men's basketball. And I think they have a shot here to not only win a national championship and easily be Scott Drew's best team of all time. But I mean, this team could be the best Baylor team of all time, just with the talent that they've assembled. And I think when you add a guy like Jared Butler, that's a player of the year candidate, a guy that could take you to that next level. And as we've seen, guards in the NCAA tournament, you can't have enough of them. And when you have one guy that gets hot in the NCAA tournament, he can carry you to a national championship. And Jared Butler is that kind of player. So very excited to see what Scott Drew is able to do with this team, and excited to see how this program continues to move forward with all the momentum that they have.
Yeah, he's got it's like having a toy chest when you're a kid, and his is just filled to the brim. He's got his selection of so many different fun options on this roster to tinker with and play around with this offseason, and then roll out there here in a few months. Lord willing, COVID will have calm down enough or maintained a slow enough growth or whatever, whatever you want to refer to it as. You know what I'm saying? It's so long as we avoid a situation like what happened to the basketball team last year. The sky's the limit for this squad for sure. So fingers crossed that, unlike last year, they do get an opportunity to not only have a great season, but then actually finish it off and see what they could do in the tournament. But absolutely massive news for Baylor. They're going to get a ton of attention this year. They're going to have NBA scouts at all their games, I would imagine, because of, a guy like Butler, a guy like Teague, but also the guys coming up as well. So, yeah, certainly all eyes on Baylor basketball right now in a good way. And just enjoy it, folks, because this is a pretty fun time for that program. And who knows where they may take us next. So absolutely massive news there with Jared Butler announcing his decision. Before we move on, what'd you think of his video?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I know I watched it on Twitter with the whole, I think it was it Trey Mena that produced it? I think it might have been, at least the video that I saw. But yeah, it was really cool, and cool to see just what I've seen from Jared Butler throughout the past few years, just the kind of person he is. And there's obviously something to these guys coming back that is just, there's a want to win at Baylor. I mean, you can just see it in both of their decisions, in both their videos. So yeah, I thought it was great. And I thought Jared continues to show a very positive side of himself to, the public and to Baylor Nation.
For sure. So there was one big question that Baylor fans had and were waiting to hear about. What was going to happen with Jared Butler? Well, now we know. Now all of the NBA questions have been wrapped up, and we can kind of know what to expect from Baylor men's basketball and move forward, previewing them at a later date. In the meantime, another major decision that many people were waiting on was what exactly was going to happen with college football. And we found out that college football was just going to look out for its own best interest individually as conferences in most cases, as we saw the Big Ten just go ahead and make their decision and the Pac-12 follow the leader and the ACC go, yeah, I think us too. And then the SEC eventually, oh yeah, we're going to do this. And then the Big 12 bringing up the rear of the Power Fives with the, you know, last decision being made. They're going to go 10 games next year, and that will include 9 conference games, so they will play every conference opponent. What that means for Kansas early on in the season, you know, I'm interested to see kind of how the schedule plays out, like if they're going to shift any games or what they're looking at there. But you can't answer every question simultaneously, although that would be nice. So we have some questions remaining, but the answer we did get was yes, 10 games by the Big 12, so you will play every conference opponent and one non-conference game. And the interesting thing about that is some teams may end up playing a team that wasn't even on their schedule because, for example, Baylor is not going to be able to play Ole Miss, which would leave them with La Tech or Incarnate Word. But in theory, if the schedule shifted around and this day doesn't work or what have you, maybe there's a chance they're looking for somebody completely out of the blue to add to the schedule, or they pick between one of those two. That remains to be seen, but they have to find and play one non-conference game. Grayson, so your thoughts on the 10-game schedule, the one non-conference game, and, you know, just what you think football season's going to look like, be like, and feel like?
Yeah, so I took a couple of notes from the release that was given from the Big 12, and there were a few things that I feel like I need to point out just based on the release, that the information that we have. So it said that the conference start date will be mid to late September. So my expectation for that is it will either start the 19th of September or the 26th of September, which are the two dates that Baylor had for Incarnate Word and Louisiana Tech. I expect Big 12 football to start on one of those dates just based on, you know, reading through the list. And that means that Baylor would probably play their first game either on the 19th or the 12th is what I, again, am taking away from this article. It could even be back to Labor Day weekend potentially. But for their one non-conference game, I would assume that they'd want to do it on Labor Day or the 12th so that they have some room in there before conference play starts to maybe have a bye week or something along those lines. But that was the first thing that I noticed from the release. And the second thing, obviously, was the Big 12 championship game having some flexibility, whether it'll be on December 12th or the 19th. There's not a set date. The Big 12 can kind of decide based on how the season goes and how things are looking at that time period to have an option for either one. So those were a few of the biggest takeaways that I got. I also have been kind of looking around to see what other schools have been doing. I've noticed a lot of schools have been not even scheduling games that they had on their schedule, going out and finding new opponents instead. So that's another option Baylor has if they don't want to play or they can't figure out a way to play Louisiana Tech or Incarnate Word. Maybe they go out and find a new team to play. So those were a couple of my thoughts on it, a couple of the interesting things that I noticed and looked at. But I'm definitely very curious to see how this all plays out for Baylor and also how it plays out for the rest of the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, Oklahoma was going to play they had moved up their game, right, to like August the 29th. They had gotten permission to move up their game before the announcement was made. They wanted to give themselves flexibility. You know, how does that work now? Like, yeah, there's just a lot of questions still to be answered of, like, for those schools who were going to move up and play in week zero, or, you know, if you had – a couple schools who now you can't play, like, does that leave you with your one, or do you go find a different one, or, you know, whatever, like you were saying. So Baylor's got two options in theory right now: pick one of the two schools on their schedule, see if that works, or go find somebody completely different. And as of right now, we don't know what their plans are. Hopefully, and we won't know, you know, I won't be able to add this to the podcast, so just bear in mind that later today, as we record this on Wednesday, we will be talking to Mac Rhodes, so maybe we get a little bit of clarity there, and this will have been updated by the time you listen to this, but maybe not. We'll see. He might give us a little something, he might not, but I'm sure we'll have at least a better idea, even if we don't know for sure what they're going to do. We'll have a better idea of what they might do in terms of that non-conference schedule. So,
Yeah.
I guess I saw an update from OU. They said just told unlikely to play the 8/29 game given fewer games and later start. So, yeah, so they've already started to shift that. So, yeah, we're going to see a lot of that going on.
Right. And I think I was actually going to ask you before you brought up that tweet, I was going to say, and I think this is what a lot of schools are going to be questioning, why would Oklahoma play a game on 8/29 and then potentially have to wait a whole month before playing another game? That just seems a little ridiculous, and that cuts into your fall camp. So I think going just in line with that train of thought, I think most teams are either going to play the 5th or the 12th would be my expectation, with Big 12 games starting the 19th or the 26th. That would be my original thought. Obviously, if the games start on the 26th, maybe some teams decide to play the 19th and just don't take a bye. But we'll see how that happens. It's going to be very interesting. But I think that 8/29 date probably is going to be moved back now. I just don't see a team playing one game and then waiting just such an extended period of time before, you know, starting Big 12 play. I don't know that that makes a whole lot of sense.
No, I'll give Oklahoma credit, though. They were behind Lincoln Riley, the one school to say, no, we're going to wait. And they've had very positive test results. I don't think they've had a positive in like a couple of weeks. Wow. So they're obviously doing something right. So I give them credit for that, because Riley was very outspoken about, hey, I think we're getting going a little bit too quickly. We kind of need to wait. We're going to wait. And so they have, and like I said, no positives the last couple of weeks. And I think even the last time they had positives, and don't quote me, but it wasn't like a high number either. So they've been pretty dadgum steady there. But yeah, it does look like that game's going to get moved. But like I said, I'll give them credit, though, because they were at least being proactive. Like, they were making their own decisions within the realm of what decisions they could make. And then they were proactive to go and try and make their schedule change to accommodate what possibly would have been a full schedule. And now they have to backtrack on that, it looks like, and probably cancel that game because of the reasons you mentioned. But they have been, you know, they've been strong in their decision making. I feel like they haven't, you know, been peer pressured or anything like that, and hopefully that's what most schools are doing. You know, and it looks like it's going to be down to just the conferences and in many cases, you know, making their own decisions, or that's what we've seen now. And based on what we're seeing out of, you know, some of the language today from the NCAA, it appears, if I'm reading it right, as though they're basically saying, like, hey, all you separate divisions, you guys make your own choices too. We're not going to be responsible for this. So D1, we know they're going to plow through. The others, they might not have the testing to keep up. They might have to do things a different way. So I kind of understand, you know, each group kind of decide what's best for you, but we're not going to be responsible. It's like typical NCAA, but right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was reading earlier today. So we've got the biggest question answered. That was, what's the season going to look like? How many games will the Big 12 try and play? You know, how are they going to play the conference games? Are teams going to have to double up and play twice? You know, all these different things that were floated out there. We now know 10-game schedule, all conference games plus a non-conference game, and just dates are what we're going to be trying to figure out now, along with whoever Baylor's non-conference opponent is going to be. But again, we'll have macros on later today, and I would imagine get some type of just clarity on the direction that they might be leaning. So fingers crossed, man, that this all works out and goes well.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, I just wanted to bring up some side notes based on just kind of this conversation in general about the schedules. You know, we saw today the first FBS team, D1 team, deciding they're not going to play this season, which is UConn. They're not going to play football this year, which I found pretty interesting to see that news.
They never really have anyways.
Yeah, well, true. A lot of people probably didn't even know they had a football team, but yeah, they're not playing this year, which I obviously is big news. And also, the other big news that's happening from all this is players are opting out of playing, and that's starting to become very common. There's been some really, really high profile players that aren't going to play this year. Rashad Bateman, he's probably going to be a first round pick out of Minnesota. He's not going to play this year. So I think we're going to see more of that, but it's just going to be a really interesting time period moving forward as we try to figure out what the season is going to look like. And obviously the Big 12 kind of was able to make a decision. Now Baylor is going to have to kind of figure out the nuances of it. But I think there's going to be more storylines as things progress, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to look at the headlines right now and then look again in about 30 minutes, they could be completely different. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of tracking of, you know, who's opting out and all of that. Haven't heard anything whatsoever in regards to any Baylor players. Would it shock me if, like, somebody, like, randomly announced that they suddenly don't feel safe or they want to take precautions? No, and I'm not going to fault them for that, man. That, you know, it's not like we've got this thing under control. You know, we're just trying to, whether right or wrong, go about our lives. And if somebody decides that, hey, the environment's still not great enough to where I really feel like health-wise I'm, you know, comfortable, then that is absolutely their choice to make. And I'm really not going to fault anybody who decides to, you know, to sit out for the right reasons. I'm not even sure what the wrong reasons would be anyways, but, you know, a guy like Bateman, you're a big-time talent. I mean, I understand that, you know, Minnesota could use you and things like that, but, you know, he's got to, you know, ultimately, it'd be one thing if we were just talking like a selfish decision because, you know, like a guy who decides, I'm going to sit out my senior year so I don't hurt my draft stock.
Right.
That's one thing. I'm going to sit out my final year in college because I don't want to potentially risk getting this virus and hurting myself, my family, or my career down the line. That's a completely different decision. So yeah, I don't blame anybody that decides to sit out this year just with all the questions and what all is going on. But yeah, I'm sure there will be, you know, at least one or two every day or two that we end up hearing about. But Bateman from Minnesota was a pretty big one, and it'll be interesting to see who else joins the fold, but haven't seen anything else today on that front. Speaking of joining the fold, as we await some more clarity on football, we at least got the good news this week of, hey, we're look, a week ago or even a few weeks ago, there was absolutely no certainty whatsoever that we would be talking about any type of schedule. We were hoping to be talking about a schedule, so the fact that we are is fantastic. But speaking of, you know, additions and things like that, you got Jared Butler coming back, you got footballs back, the Lady Bears have dipped into the transfer market once again. They have become, you know, a common theme in the transfer news each offseason, pretty much for the last, I don't know what, 3-4 years, picking up a player through transfer, some to varying degrees of success, but some to major success when you think of like a Chloe Jackson, for example. But this was kind of out of nowhere earlier this week. Kamaria McDaniel of Penn State announced that she is joining the Baylor Lady Bears, saying, let's get it, and posting Matthew 19:26. She, you know, made sure to mention the Lady Bears and Kim Mulkey in her tweet or tagged them. But she is originally from Penn State via Michigan, her home state, and she joined us earlier this week on Sikkim 365 Radio, laid out all of her reasons behind her decision and why she decided to leave Penn State and why she decided to choose Baylor as her next destination. And I could not have been more impressed. She was an amazing young lady to talk to, and she's going to be a really, I think, positive influence in that locker room, which is typically a pretty positive place for the Lady Bears. So I think she'll fit in quite nicely. I don't know a ton about her game, although the numbers that I've seen look pretty dadgum good. But Grayson, Kamaria McDaniel, the latest addition for the Baylor Lady Bears.
Yeah, and when this first came out, like you said, it was pretty random and kind of out of nowhere. But everyone was kind of saying that she was a grad transfer. But in reality, she's just a true transfer. She won't be eligible till the 2021-2022 season, so she'll have to sit out 1 year per the NCAA transfer rules. But this past year at Penn State, first team all Big Ten performer, that's huge. So you're adding an all Big Ten player to your roster, and they're sitting out a year, which will allow Kamaria to kind of figure out the offense, figure out the way that Kim Mulkey wants to utilize her. And my guess is based on watching her game that she might be another one kind of like Chloe Jackson, where she played A lot of shooting guard at Penn State, some point guard at Penn State, but she'll come to Baylor and maybe transition to that point guard position. It would make a whole lot of sense for her to do that. But she averaged almost 20 points per game last year. So the Lady Bears are just reloading. I mean, this team is going to be very good this year, and then the next year they're going to be just as good. And the train just keeps rolling on and on for this roster. And I think there's a potential that they might play a little bit faster than we've seen in recent seasons, just based on kind of how their roster looks. Queen Egbo, Nelissa Smith, both can run the floor extremely well. So I think you might see a little more pace, maybe a little more three-pointers, maybe some more fast breaks by this Lady Bears team. It's going to be fun to watch, I think. But you could be seeing just a slight different trend for Kim Mulkey's team over the next couple years. But there will still be an emphasis to feed Nelissa Smith and Queen Egbo in the half-court offense. I'm just saying I think they'll have a better ability to run the floor.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how scholarships are divvied out coming up, because you do have some transfers waiting in the wings now. I mean, not only with McDaniel, but you've also got Jaden Owens, who transferred over as well, and Dejanay Carrington transferred over as well. So that's, what, three transfers this offseason, right?
Yeah, Dejanay will play this year, though, and right. Then that's her only year, I believe. I think she's a grad transfer, so –
Right, so you got the one there, but then you got two more to account for that'll be that are on your roster now, but that will have to sit out. So it'll just be interesting to see like how they play, how they use their numbers, knowing that they've got, you know, a one for one like Carrington this year, but then you'll have Owens and McDaniel waiting, and then you got your incoming freshmen, and then, you know, the girls that you will continue to recruit as well. So I mean, they're going to be loaded for bear. This is going to be a great. It's not even a problem, but it's just going to be a great thing trying to figure out, like, you know, how you're going to shape the roster with how loaded it is, and, you know, who's going to see time. Like, yeah, just how they work the roster. I'm always kind of fascinated by that, like kind of the way Scott Drew's done it. And, man, you're going to have not only all the talent on the court and then an addition like Carrington, but then you're going to have these new girls coming in the freshman ranks like Andrews and Gusters, and then you're going to have talent sitting there just waiting their turn for a year. So there's not going to be any, you know, any lack of talent for Kim Mulkey, that's for sure.
Definitely not. And she was a great interview on Sikkim 365 Radio, and I know she had mentioned that her family had gotten hit pretty hard by the coronavirus. Yeah. I wonder if that went into play in her decision. I don't know if you know the answer to that, but I'm curious if her, you know, she was planning on maybe sitting out this year anyways. But she found a transfer spot that could potentially be something. I don't know. It was just something that I kind of was thinking about when I was listening to her very truthful interview with y'all.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly everything she said. I do remember the part about her family. I believe she lost at least one, if not two, family members to COVID. Like, I know she lost one, but I can't remember if she had mentioned another. I want to say... And I'm just trying to remember, but one of her grandparents, I think, passed and the other one had it. And I can't remember exactly right now because 2 days ago seems like 2 weeks ago. But yeah. No, I mean, it's check it out for yourself and listen. She's got a really great perspective on life. And I definitely think that, you know, her family getting hit pretty hard by COVID played into her decision. I think there were probably, you know, other things as well. You know, nothing nefarious or anything, but just, you know, eventually you figure out, you know, we've seen few players transfer. I mean, Texas picked up a Penn State transfer. So something's going on there. I guess coaching change or whatever the case may be. But regardless, Penn State's loss is Baylor's gain. So Kamari McDaniel will play 2 years from now. She'll be making her Baylor debut, but will have, I'm sure, a big-time impact, you know, sitting out next year, but being part of practices. And you have a really talented practice squad, that's for sure. I mean, you already do. And I know they use, you know, like the male student team and all that too. But, I mean, shoot, you're going to have Jaden Owens and Kamari McDaniel sitting there waiting their turn. So that'll be some good competition as usual in those Lady Bears practices. So Jared Butler's back. Lady Bears have added another transfer, and she's very impressive. And check out an interview on Sikkim 365. And The Big 12 schedule is set as far as the number of games. We just don't know dates, and we kind of know dates, but we don't know the dates of games and who the plus one is going to be, as mentioned. So that's still some of, or that is one thing that we are still on the lookout for. But outside of that, Grayson, anything before we get into the mailbag this week?
No, nothing that I can think of. It's been pretty quiet on the recruiting front. I guess I can provide a slight update. Just talking about how Baylor is still looking for offensive linemen in the transfer portal. There's still a lot of evaluations going on for the Baylor staff. I think they're still trying to figure out exactly who they want to take. I think there's a few options out there, but I think it's just been tough to figure out exactly who to use a spot on, just because you don't want to make the wrong decision. And by the wrong decision, I mean taking a guy and then a week later, an even better prospect enters the portal. So I think that there's a lot of conversations going on, a lot of evaluations going on, like I said. And I do believe they are going to add one before the 2020 season, though. Whether it's a true transfer or a grad transfer, I think Baylor will have another addition to the roster, and they have room to do so. So I think that was probably the biggest update of the week on the recruiting front. It's a pretty big one because it could somewhat impact the 2020 season, especially if it's a grad transfer.
No doubt. So be locked into the Sikkim 365 premium board for all things recruiting and updates like that, and more news and more details and more conversation, all that good stuff. So go sign up today, please. You'll enjoy it, I promise. Now let's rip through some of these mailbag questions, and I think these first couple are kind of partially been answered already, but let's start off with Rufus Gee. Has the Big 12 released a revised conference schedule, or have they commented on the conference schedule as it has previously been established? And we've gone over that now. Big 12 has announced their revised schedule of 9+1 for next season. But like the details, Grayson, we don't have as far as the dates and things like that. So I don't think there's really much to add there based on what we've already talked about.
Yeah, I would just say the only thing that you can really take away is the mid to late September start date for Big 12 play. So again, I would say probably look at the 19th or 26th as the start day for conference play, which would mean that Baylor's game against Kansas would get moved, because I don't believe they'll start conference play on the 12th just based on how the press release was written. So that's really the only information I think we have currently.
Yep. So Rufus, just stay tuned. We'll see what they announce here over the coming days and weeks. Grand Grid is 65. Do you think we're through with the 2020 class picking up any more transfers at this point in time? How many scholarships are left, if any, for 2020? Thanks for all you're doing in these difficult times. Well, thank you, Grand Grizz. And Grayson, you kind of just touched on transfer a little bit, but do you think we're through with 2020 picking up any more transfers, and how many scholarships, if any, left for 2020?
So I think Baylor will pick up at least one more player for 2020, like I mentioned, whether it's a grad transfer or normal transfer. I would say that there's maybe a chance they take two, maybe, but I'm kind of leaning towards one right now. Based on my count, just looking over the roster, there's three spots left. I expect at least one of those to go to a walk-on, if not two of those, which kind of varies how many spots that they would have. But I believe there's three open spots currently.
All right, there you go. Grand Grizz, thank you so much for your question. Sikkim, Kentucky, which comes first? The Big 12 goes through a renaming, rebranding process to more accurately reflect the number of teams in the conference, or the addition of two more teams to bring it back to 12? If the latter, which teams would you be rooting for to join?
I'm going to go with the addition of two more teams to bring it back to 12. Again, I think that's my preferred decision. If there is a decision on rebranding or anything like that, I think adding two teams makes the most sense. But I have a couple of conditions. So the top two obviously would be for me either the two Arizona schools or really any two Power Five programs. I mean, that would be the perfect scenario. I think UCF and USF would be interesting just because they would add another recruiting pipeline. They are kind of far away, which makes it tough geographically, but I do like the fact that you'd be able to play in Florida occasionally. So I think that would be pretty cool for recruiting. My only condition that I know a lot of people have been on board this train of thought. I am just so far off it. I think it's a terrible idea. Would be allowing any other Texas schools to join the Big 12. I just don't see the benefits of that. It can only hurt recruiting by adding another Power 5 program. And with so many programs already cherry picking from the state of Texas, I just don't think that there is any logical reason to add a Houston or a UTSA or a Texas State or North Texas. I think going out of state is the way to go. That's just my huge opinion on it. I've always been against that.
No, I'm anti any Texas teams. They've got enough Texas teams. They've got enough Texas TVs. They're not going to get any ratings bump from U of H joining. They already got Houston on lock. They don't need them. They don't need anybody else in Texas right now. So I'm with you on that. Give me the two Arizona schools and let's call it a day. Would be my preferred method. If you have to go out, the Florida schools are somewhat intriguing. I don't know what it is about USF, but their brand's just kind of right now. UCF would certainly make some news. USF would too, not to the level of UCF, but those would be interesting. But yeah, I would definitely prefer the Arizona schools if I could just have my dream scenario, but definitely not a U of H or someone like, and there's not really any other options outside of that, but definitely not U of H. And like just to the main question, I mean, they've already been plowing through, with 10 teams now for a few years. So the Big 12 as a name, I mean, that's their identity. So the numbers stopped really mattering long ago in their eyes. And I think with the grant of rights agreements coming up in about 4 years from now, 3-4 years from now, it would be, if you have like any kind of uncertainty, which I can't imagine how anybody has 100% certainty on what 4 years from now is going to look like, I think you'd be wasting a lot of money to try and rebrand a conference that could change dramatically in 4 years. I don't think that's a guarantee. I know a lot of people love to play doomsday and predict that because it's chaos and people just want to see chaos. But I mean, it is, something that we all know is coming down the pipeline, the realignment possibilities and things like that, when all those grants of rights are up. So it wouldn't really serve a great purpose to spend the thousands and thousands of dollars of renaming and doing a new logo, and not that it would, be anything too substantial financially, but it'd be a lot of change in the midst of a lot of change for no real reason, in my opinion. If you don't know if that's even going to be used in 2025. So no, they're just going to stay as a Big 12, and the most likely would be adding two teams. And that may come in that 2023, 2024 period, depending on what happens there. Maybe the super conference idea ramps up. Maybe the Power Fives break off and really become truly their own thing. And then you maybe see some shuffling, but that's some potential drama or potential fireworks that are down the line. I think we've got enough right now, but that'll be interesting to see. So definitely think they would add teams before rebranding. Thank you, Sikkim Kentucky, for the question. Captain Jacob, what are the dates for the start and end of fall camp? I heard somewhere that someone is working on some in-depth articles for defensive offensive schemes. Do we know when those will be posted? So yesterday, Colt put out the start date for fall camp. I did not see him put out an end date for fall camp, Grayson, but I know he did put out there that it will be August the 8th. So this coming Saturday for practices for fall camp to begin for Baylor football.
Yeah, so it'll start this Saturday. And again, like you said, there's no necessarily end date. And I think a big part of it is going to be when the season's actually going to start. That'll kind of usually trigger when fall camp will end. But usually it would go up, I believe, until the last week in August. I think it's like a 4-week time period for fall camp or something. It's either 3 or 4 weeks. So one of those two numbers, and then actual practices, for the game week usually follow that, or they get a week off before the actual practices happen. So that's what I would say is kind of the rough outline that I'm looking at and going off of. So I'd expect it to end sometime later in August for fall camp to be done. As far as the offensive and defensive scheme articles, S11 will be working on that. Again, I don't have a confirmed time when he's going to post those. Usually it's just kind of he'll post them back-to-back weeks. So I would just be on the lookout for it. It'll come over the next few weeks, I'm sure, as fall camp gets going. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He always does a great job with those analytical and statistical posts and scheme posts. So it'll be a lot of fun to cover. So I'm excited to look at those as well. So they'll be coming in the next few weeks, though.
Skim 234, if Texas high school football doesn't have a season or the season's delayed to the spring, do you think this is an advantage or disadvantage for Baylor as it relates to recruiting?
So, Skim, this was a great question that I looked at before we jumped on the podcast, and it really took a lot of thought about kind of the various disadvantages and advantages that it would have. So I don't want to give a cop-out answer. I think in general, I think it would end up being an advantage for Baylor because they already have the class pretty much filled up at this point. But there are some disadvantages to it. So I would say, you know, you don't get to find those late hidden gems because you don't get to see them play football in the fall. I would also say that there's going to be a lot more early enrolling, in my opinion, even if, you know, guys are saying, oh, I get to play in the spring. I still think a lot of kids will say they just don't want to wait. Might as well early enroll. So I think that's another area to look at. I'm not sure if that would be a disadvantage or advantage as far as Baylor goes. I also think if the season's delayed to the spring, you would also see recruiting rankings take a little bit of a hit just because you don't get to see the players in the fall. And that's usually when the rankings would come out. I think there's going to be some changes to signing day if the season is delayed till spring. I don't know what in the world that would look like. It would end up being pretty crazy and pretty hectic, which again, I think would be a disadvantage for Baylor because they have so many guys committed already. So just kind of looking at all of those different things, I would say that's an advantage for Baylor. If you know, the season gets moved to the spring. But I think overall, I think Baylor's in a great spot right now with how many commits they have. I don't think it's going to matter if high school football is in the fall or the spring. I think they'll be able to rally and still have a great class at the end here and close things out strong.
So thank you, Skim, for the question this week. Do appreciate you, Fat Daddy. When will the Big 12 presidents and ADs decide if the Big 12 is going to be a big boy conference, then a big boy commissioner leader is needed?
I mean, I don't know when they're going to make some sort of decision. I don't think that Bowlesby has been terrible during this situation. I think he's actually made some better moves than normal. I know people are mad that the Big 12 made the decision last, but I would also say that, you know, based on what I've heard, the votes were pretty close and that it was just a great conversation amongst the ADs. So I don't think it really mattered if the Big 12 had waited or done from the beginning. And I would also say it's not a bad idea to take in all the facts before making a decision. And I think that's what the Big 12 actually did, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd say Fat Daddy. I mean, I'm not a giant Bowlesby fan, but I'm not as negative on him as a lot of Baylor people in particular seem to be. And I know there's others from other fan bases that are maybe not the biggest fans of his. Now, if you'd asked me this like 3 years ago, then I'd have been like, yeah, screw that guy. But, you know, I'm still not a giant fan of his by any means, or I wouldn't even call myself a fan, period, of Bob Bowlesby. But I've been okay with the way they've navigated this. I mean, I don't know what the rush is. Like, I don't know what being the third team to announce their decisions, like why that really changes anything. Because you could have come out and said, hey, we're going to play all 12 games. But when, you know, half your conference is playing SEC teams and the SEC comes out and says, hey, we're not playing non-conference, well, then you look kind of dumb, don't you? Because now you're like, well, we're still going to play all of our games. We're just going to have to go change like 10 of them or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, like, I don't really really mind them being the last conference to make a decision, because it kind of in some ways made the decision easier for them, I would think, in that they knew what everybody else was doing. And so it allowed them to sort of survey the landscape and go, okay, well, this is off the table, so here's what we're left with. Rather than thinking you're dealing with the full deck of cards and making decisions as though you have a full deck of cards, and then all of a sudden, you know, half the deck's gone after you've made your decision. So I know it's probably not the best example, but it's just what popped in my head. I don't really have a problem with the way they've navigated this. I've had a problem with the way the Big 12's done some other things or how they've even acted at times. But I actually have been kind of okay or pretty okay with how Bob Bowlesby has navigated this whole thing. And, you know, I think the most important thing for the conference, and this is not going to be important for you, Fat Daddy, or for me, or for anybody else, or and for those that don't like Bowlesby, but the school president seemed to like him, and the athletic director seemed to like him as well. And ultimately, that's all that really matters for the Big 12, is that he gets along with those folks, and they respect him and like him, and they all seem to. So, you know, they feel like they're a big boy conference, and they feel like they've got the right leader. So we'll see. But, yeah, I was not as upset about them being last to make a decision like so many others were. I just don't know what doing it earlier really would have changed at all. So,
yeah, Grayson, I'm definitely with you on that. I was just – he's made some bad decisions in the past, but I don't think that this is necessarily one that I would harp on specifically. So, yeah. Thanks for that question, Fat Daddy. Really appreciate it. Brad New. Will we see more of Mark Vidal at the center position if Tristan Clark is not healthy during the season? Are three guards and maybe Meyer at the four and Vidal at the five?
Why don't you go ahead and take this one, Grayson?
You want me to take this one? Okay. Yeah. So, I think that we saw last year they were better when Freddie was on the floor, and I think that you're going to see that this year. I think Tristan Clark and JT need to be on the floor. I think they give them the rebounding they need, the length in the paint to defend the rim. I think you're really taking away some key things as far as rebounding and defense goes when you don't have either Clark or JT on the court. So I do believe that they will stay with one of those guys at the five. But what I could see happening is maybe Meyer comes on for Vidal, which we saw a lot of times last year, to provide more offense as opposed to defense. And that would kind of give you the same kind of thing that you are looking at, except Vidal wouldn't be on the court in that situation. I think you'll see some stretches where Meyer and Vidal are on the four and five, but it would have to be a really good matchup, in my opinion, for them to be able to do it. I just think you're giving up too much size and too much on the defensive side to really do that consistently. But they're going to be so potent on offense, I don't think you need to worry about them really trying to figure out how to get a fourth guard on the court.
So I just saw this story. I'm going to read our last couple questions here in just a second, but this came down in the last 20 minutes. It's not Baylor related, but it kind of is just because it's college sports related. And if any Baylor athlete, which I don't know if any listen to this podcast, but if you are, please listen closely. If you have any hopes for fall sports or spring sports, and you don't want to end up like seniors last year in spring sports who did not really get to close out their careers in most cases, Louisville has announced that they are pausing workouts for four fall sports programs, temporarily suspending all team-related activities for men's and women's soccer, field hockey, and volleyball after 29 members of the four teams tested positive for COVID-19, while multiple other teammates and student-athletes from other sports were potentially exposed to the virus and now remain in quarantine due to contact tracing. The primary source of the positive test and his exposure was traced primarily to an off-campus party. So, wow. I mean, college kids, man, I get it. I know how hard it would be to resist temptation and want to go have a beer and flirt and have fun and dance and do whatever. But you know what? Then pull your athlete card for this year, because I'm not advocating athletics over health, but if you can't do the athletics part of it, like if you can't do what's needed to do the athletics part of it, then just don't be an athlete this year, because these athletes just spread it to other athletes, and now Louisville's shutting down four programs for the time being until they clear this up a little bit.
That's tough, man. And we're going to see that a lot.
And we're going to see it even with no parties, though. Like, that's the thing that, I mean, we're eventually going to see, I would imagine, and I don't want to talk too much about COVID because I'm just so burnt out. Like, it makes my head hurt even thinking about it. But it's reality, and so we have to. But, I mean, there's going to be clusters like that even without parties, like, that are probably going to arise or occur or something similar. Now, I don't know about 29 members of four teams and, you know, that kind of stuff, but who knows what the heck's going to happen once classes start and sports start and all that. I mean, it's the Wild West, man. We have no idea, but, you know, you're certainly not doing yourself any favors. Like, what, it's one thing if, like, I mean, the virus is the virus. We're not going to kill it anytime soon. So it's going to spread, and all we can do is try to limit it as best we can. That's really all we can do as human beings, even though some of us refuse to even try to do that because some government, some whatever. But point being, that's going to happen, and okay, we can deal with that. But if you're having 29 positives because of a party, like, that's just – that's irresponsible, and you can't be doing stuff like that. That's just – it's selfish. And if you need a party more than you need to play sports, then go be a regular student and party. But don't put all your other teammates at risk. I mean, that's just so daggum selfish, man. And I'm sure they were, you know, thought it was innocent and things like that. But, man, that's just not the world we're living in right now. It's just not. And people need to and people, I think, mostly do realize that. But these athletes who are coming back, clearly these athletes at Louisville did not realize that. So hopefully that's you know, another wake-up call that coaches and administrators can point to and say, like, hey, you want to end up like Louisville? So there you go. I just wanted to pass that along. So thank you, Brad New, for the question. And Bears Den, we'll close it out this week. Two questions. What are the chances we keep one of the current non-con teams as a plus one versus going with a new team like BYU or Boise State?
I think I'd put it over 50% that they stick with one of the teams that they currently have on the schedule. But there's still a chance that they decide to go elsewhere. I just think it's just kind of late in the game. It wouldn't surprise me if they just went with one of the ones on the schedule. But it's a weird situation. Maybe they feel like there's a better opportunity elsewhere, a better team to schedule, or more of a just kind of better fit for what they're looking for that first game, and the date works better. But we'll see. I think it's still a little over, I think it's over 50% that they stick with either Louisiana Tech or Incarnate Word.
Yeah. 51%. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
51-49. And are all their sports contingent upon a football season occurring, men's basketball included? Not to my knowledge. If football weren't to occur, Grayson, I don't think they're going to say, oh, sorry, men's basketball and women's basketball, you guys can't play now. I mean, it's all, in my opinion, yes, there's the potential for a domino effect, and football is going to be like the test, you know, dummy almost in a way. That's probably not the right phrase to use here, but I mean, yes, there could be a domino effect, but football is not going to be like, if football doesn't happen, no one else can play for the rest of the year. And I think that, so like, are all their sports contingent on a football season? No, in my opinion. And I haven't seen any indication that it would be, unless it got so bad during football season that they just had no choice whatsoever. And that would be, we wouldn't be thinking about sports too much in that scenario, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat with you. The only thing that would make things a little bit more weird, I guess, is if the football season doesn't happen in the fall, but happens in the spring. Things would be very interesting if all those sports are having a season at the exact same time. Would be curious how they handle that. But like you said, I don't think a football season occurring matters for all the other sports. I know that there might be some cuts, there might be a few sports that don't play, but I don't think men's basketball would be one of those.
No, men's basketball can start in 2021. There's no rush. I mean, like,
right,
they can change their schedules too. They can eliminate non-conference games. They don't have to go play in all these tournaments all across the country, and I'd imagine we'll probably see a lot of those shut down too. When all is said and done, unless numbers improve. So, I mean, they've got a lot of levers that they can pull with basketball, and there is no need to pull any of them right now. Football is the focus, and yes, the other fall sports are as well, to a lesser extent, just because that's reality. I mean, football is king, but no, I mean, football in the fall, I don't see having any impact on basketball, with the exception of if, like, everything's going along quite nicely and all of a sudden, like, November, it goes crazy, you know, and then basketball is just getting ready to start or is making preparations, and then that sidetracks them. But I don't think even then that would eliminate their entire spring season, because you'd still be 3-4 months out from, you know, even March Madness current. So you'd have plenty of time to – we've seen a lot of organizations, a lot of teams – on all levels have to shuffle things around, eliminate things, add things, do all that. So basketball's got some breathing room, but much like just athletics in general, Mac Rhodes back in April thought that July 1st was a long ways away and realized that it really wasn't. So we're saying that basketball's got a long time to wait, and they do, but then again, they don't. So football will be a great test case, so to speak, and will have an effect of some sort, but contingent? No, I wouldn't say contingent would be the word I would use for the other sports in football. So, Bears Den, appreciate those questions to close us out this week. Grayson, is there anything before we go, man?
No, nothing that I can think of. Just excited and I guess cautiously optimistic about the news that we're probably going to hear going forward. But yeah, nothing other than if you're not a premium subscriber, now's the time. Fall camp starting this weekend. You are not going to want to miss out on insider information, recruiting information, all kinds of different things that we're going to be able to write about and produce articles about. And then of course, tune in, Sikkim 365 Radio, every single day during the week. Definitely worth checking out. And, I mean, it's free, so why not?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So we are excited to get going with the season. I mean, obviously there's a lot of questions, but hey man, we're not trying to throw a bunch of cliches out there because I'm not a cliche guy, but we really are all on this together. So we're going to go on this journey together and just see what happens. And hopefully we all get to talk a bunch of football and talk about some games. And certainly we're at least going to be able to talk about some practices soon. So that'll be fun and that'll be enjoyable. And we encourage you to join the fray over at Sikkim 365 on the premium side, especially during a time like this when there will be a lot of like news and notes and things from practices that we're not just going to throw freely on Twitter for the masses or anything like that. So definitely if you have kind of been, you know, getting that itch and you're not sure whether to pull the trigger or not on becoming a member, now's about the time, I would say, to go ahead and shoot your shot. Go ahead and join us and see what it's all about and have fun with football season coming down the pipeline at some point that we still don't know exactly, but we know it's at least in play, and that's better than the alternative. So we'll go with that for the time being, and we'll see what happens over the next few days. Sure to be newsworthy, and we'll be covering it all when we join you next week. But Grayson, thanks, man, as always. Hope you have a good week.
You too, man. Have a good one.
And we'll be checking out his stuff on Sikkim 365. He'll be with us on Friday on Sikkim 365 Radio. So for Grayson Grundhafer, I'm Craig Smoke. Check us out weekdays 3 to 6 and the board 24/7. This has been Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com.